This seemed to establish that the crime had been done in a moment of fury, and that the murderer had seized the first weapon which came in his way. The fact that the crime was committed at 2 in the morning, and yet Peter Carey was fully dressed, suggested that he had an appointment with the murderer, which is borne out by the fact that a bottle of rum and 2 dirty glasses stood upon the table. "Yes," said Holmes, "I think that both inferences are permissible. Was there any other spirit but rum in the room?" "Yes, there was a tantalus containing brandy and whiskey on the sea-chest. It is of no importance to us, however, since the decanters were full, and it had therefore not been used." "For all that, its presence had some significance," said Holmes. "However, let us hear some more about the objects which do seem to you to bear upon the case." "There was the tobacco pouch upon the table."
"What part of the table?"
"It lay in the middle. It was of coarse seal skin, the straight-haired skin, with a leather thong to bind it. Inside was PC on the flap. There was 1/2 ounce of strong ship's tobacco in it."
"Excellent. What more?"
Stanley Hopkins drew from his pocket a drab-covered notebook. The outside was rough and worn, the leaves discoloured. On the first page were written the initials JHN and the date 1883. Holmes laid it on the table and examined it in his minute way, while Hopkins and I gazed over each shoulder. On the second page were the printed letters CPR, and then came several sheets of numbers. Another heading was Argentine, another Costa Rica, and another San Paolo, each with pages of signs and figures after it.
"What do you make of these?" asked Holmes.
"They appear to be lists of stock exchange securities. I thought that JHN were the initials of a broker, and that CPR may have been his client."
"Try Canadian Pacific Railway," said Holmes.
Stanley Hopkins swore between his teeth and struck his thigh with his clenched hand.
"What a fool I have been," he cried. "Of course it is as you say. Then JHN are the only initials we have to solve. I've already examined the old stock exchange lists, and I can find no one in 1883, either in the house or among the outside brokers, whose initials correspond with these. Yet I feel that the clue is the most important one that I hold. You will admit, Mr. Holmes, that there is a possibility that these initials are those of the second person who was present. In other words, of the murderer. I would also urge that the introduction into the case of a document relating to large masses of valuable securities gives us for the first time some indication of a motive for the crime."
Sherlock Holmes's face showed that he was thoroughly taken aback by this new development.
"I must admit both your points," said he. "I confess that this notebook, which did not appear at the inquest, modifies any views which I may have formed. I had come to a theory of the crime in which I can find no place for this. Have you endeavoured to trace any of the securities here mentioned?"
"Inquiries are now being made at the offices, but I fear that the complete register of the stockholders of these South American concerns is in South America, and that some weeks must elapse before we can trace the shares." Holmes had been examining the cover of the notebook with his magnifying lens.
"Surely there is some discoloration here," said he.
"Yes, sir, it is a blood stain. I told you that I picked the book off the floor."
"Was the blood stain above or below?"
"On the side next the boards."
"Which proves, of course, that the book was dropped after the crime was committed."
"Exactly, Mr. Holmes. I appreciated that point, and I conjectured that it was dropped by the murderer in his hurried flight. It lay near the door."
"I suppose that none of these securities have been found among the property of the dead man?"
"No, sir."
"Have you any reason to suspect robbery?"
"No, sir. Nothing seemed to have been touched."
"Dear me, it is certainly a very interesting case. Then there was a knife, was there not?"
"A sheath knife, still in its sheath. It lay at the feet of the dead man. Mrs. Carey has identified it as being her husband's property."
Holmes was lost in thought for some time. "Well," said he at last, "I suppose I shall have to come out and have a look at it."
Stanley Hopkins gave a cry of joy. "Thank you, sir. That will indeed be a weight off my mind."
Holmes shook his finger at the inspector.